It was in 1932 that Laurent and Marie gave birth to their first son, the first of four. His name was Henry. And as a citizen of the Netherlands, Henry was told the same thing young boys and young girls were told here in the States, that he was gifted, that God had gifted him, that he had potential, and his call was to discover that potential and develop it. He was also told that he could be great. And so Henry began that journey. The gift God had given him was the gift of a strong intellect. Learning came easy for Henry. It is a way of giving that gift back. He discerned a call to priesthood. And he took the journey that most priests take, college and graduate school. But after ordination, Henry went on to postgraduate studies. And he was looking for ways to live out that greatness that he had been told about. He got postgraduate degrees in theology, but that wasn't enough. He went on and studied psychology, received a PhD in psychology, and after that degree said, now what do I do? How do I find this greatness? He came to the States, taught in the finest of universities, Harvard, Notre Dame, and others. He was a gifted speaker and writer, and when people heard he was coming, churches would fill up. Auditoriums would be packed. Tents would be overflowing. People were longing to hear what Henry had to say, and he kept searching. Where's his greatness? Where's this greatness that I'm called to? He was taking a very human approach. You see, we all say that greatness leads to life, and we look at greatness in terms of who's the best, who's the brightest, who's the smartest, who's the most favorable, who's the most favorably compared to others, who's the most popular. Our social institutions have ways of reinforcing that greatness. In the academic world, it's who's got the best and the highest degree from what educational institution. In the athletic world, it's a Super Bowl ring, a Stanley Cup championship, World Series, and so on and so forth. Even in communities like ours, ways are found and ways are lived out that we lift up the great ones. Henry couldn't quite achieve what he was looking for in greatness. But our Lord said, you will, just wait. Jesus tells the apostles he's going to die. This is the second of three conversations. He says, fellas, we're going off to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer, die, and rise 3 days later. And on their way, guess what they're talking about? Who's the greatest? They're already planning who's going to be the next leader, who's going to succeed Jesus. And you always want to choose the greatest, don't you? So the conversation among them is, who's the greatest? And Jesus says, what are you talking about? Why are you going down that path? What's it all about? Are you going to be part of a culture that continues to develop? A culture that in certain circles today, famous people show the world how to perfect the art of being great, of making the world revolve around themselves? Is that where you really want to go? He asked. And then our Lord said, I'm going to redefine what it means to be great. I'm going to redefine it. I'm going to take human wisdom and turn it right on its head. Greatness, according to the Father, is going to be insulting to to the world. Because greatness, according to God the Father, has everything to do not with moving upward, but moving downward. Not with accolades, but in terms of humiliation. It's through suffering with people. And for Jesus, suffering for people. It's through compassion that divine greatness is revealed and lived out. We're always using greatness because we believe it's going to lead us to life. And the Lord says, yes, it will lead you to life. But it'll be greatness how I define it. In 1951, a plane was on final approach to the airport in Philadelphia. Mary Frances Housley was one of the flight attendants on that flight. As the plane touched down on the runway, something happened and a crash ensued. The plane came to a stop. Smoke and flames were seen. And Mary Frances very hurriedly got people out of the cabin. 10 times she walked back into the aircraft, finding people and assisting people to the chutes and letting them down. She was about ready to exit the plane herself. She looks down and there's a mom there just crying and screaming, "My baby," she said, "my baby, I can't find her." And rather than leave the plane, Mary Frances went back an 11th time. When the rescuers found her, they found her with this 4-month-old cradled in her arms. That's greatness at its ultimate expression. Jesus says the greatest among you must be the one who serves the rest. And the greatest expression, the fullest expression of greatness is your willingness to lay your life on the line for another. Because that's the greatest expression of love. In the Korean War, at the end of the war, when prisoners of war were liberated from camp, there's a story of one prisoner of war camp that when those who came to free the soldiers freed them, saw these men walk out with a 4-foot cross. The cross was made out of the firewood that they had used to keep themselves warm. That cross was to honor Father Emil Capone, their chaplain, because Father Emil would risk his life for his soldiers. They were his boys, he said. When they were captured by the North Koreans, the American soldiers were forced to walk many miles to the prisoner of war camp. If you couldn't walk the journey, it wasn't good. Too many young people to get into details. But Father Emil picked people up and helped them. It is told he carried one man many, many miles. He found a way to sneak out of camp, and instead of sneak out of camp and protect himself, he went and found food, and he snuck back in and supplemented the poor rations that the prisoners of war were receiving. He found a metal dish, and he used it to boil water so that nobody got dysentery from contaminated water. When he finally knew that he was going to pass, the prisoners were in tears, and Father Emil says, "Hey, fellas, I'm going to the place I always wanted to go. When I get there, I'll pray for you." That's greatness at its best, laying our life down on the line for another. That's the challenge the Lord gives us. If I can summarize that challenge, I want to offer you 4 suggestions. 1, put yourself last. 2, be the servant of others. 3, receive the most insignificant human beings with great love. And 4, don't expect anything in return. That's the pathway to greatness and to life that our Lord leaves us. Put yourself last. Substitute your ambitions and let your life be ruled with the ambition to serve, service of others above self. You see, selfish ambitions, as we heard, destroy peace and they cause conflicts. Henry would leave us a teaching. He said, competition unchecked always leads to rivalry. Rivalry leads to anger. Anger leads to death. So put yourself last. Number two, be the servant of all. True greatness is found in loving service. It is never self-centered. How important for us in a world that values self-centeredness. It lies in the ability to see and respond to others with great compassion. The greatest example, the greatest way we can bear witness to our faith is living that way. Pope Francis is in Cuba this morning. He'll be in the States on Tuesday. Before he teaches about serving the poor, he's always serving them. He'll speak to a joint session of Congress. He'll be at the White House this week. He'll be other places. But what will be most notable is where he goes among the poorest of the poor and what he'll do. That will be reported. And then, and only then, does he teach about what faithful living is. This greatest message is the example he gives. Yours and mine are the same. Receive the most insignificant human beings with great love. Show hospitality to the ones you or others or our culture says are outsiders, are the sick ones, the feeble ones, the sinful ones. And lastly, do it without expecting a return. How un-American. We rarely do things without expecting something back. We rarely do. But that's what true love is. Loving without expecting anything in return. God, who does he think he is to leave us that kind of a message this week? Because it's so different than messages of greatness that we hear all over the place. Well, like Pope Francis, he's the God who says, I'm not only going to teach you this, but I'm going to show you the way. And fellas, let me repeat to you. We're going to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer and die, and then I'll rise again. In other words, I'll show you the way. Who does God think he is? The one who knows the way to greatness and to life. And it's through dying to self. Let's pray for the grace to receive that teaching in the way it's meant for us individually, and then the grace to carry it out.